This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, we're going to talk a little bit of Olympics today, but we're going to talk a lot of baseball. We'll talk about Detroit Tigers today. We've got our guest on the line, Tony Paul from the Detroit News, to talk Tiger baseball with him. So let's bring in Tony and talk a little bit of Tiger baseball this afternoon. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, how are you?
Hey, feeling good and looking forward to talking a little baseball with you. The Tigers have, you know, they made the deal, the move. That should help them. But this problem is all year long. The Tigers have been an inconsistent hitting team. You know, a lot of times they weren't hitting with two strikes. They started hitting for a little while. Then they went back to being this sporadic hitting team. Can they win it the way their offense has been performing, or are we just going to continue to watch a team that's inconsistent hitting primarily?
Well, they can't win the division with the offense the way it's been. There's no question about that. They've been up and down all year, and that's really why they got off to the sluggish start this year, was because their offense really wasn't clicking. And they went through about a month and a half stretch, 6 weeks really, where they really hit the ball well. They made up a lot of ground in the American League Central, and everyone started looking and seeing, okay, that's the offense we expected. And what that did when they did start hitting was it kind of identified the big needs for the Tigers as being starting pitching and maybe a second baseman. Well, that hitting stretch that they went through might have fooled even the Tigers into thinking they didn't need to add a bat before the trade deadline, because now what we've seen on this road trip, where it really was not a good road trip at all, 3-6, lost all three series, they just they're not hitting, and they really, in my opinion, could have used another big bat before the deadline. But they had already made their move. They had already given up quite a few trade chips in getting their starting pitcher, Anibal Sanchez, and their second baseman, Omar Infante. So I think that they can't win with how they're hitting right now. They have the pieces in place, at least, you know, track record-wise, these guys can hit. But, you know, they just have too many guys scuffling all at once with Johnny Peralta and Brendan Bosch and Delman Young and Alex Avila. I mean, that's almost half your lineup right there. And then Omar Infante, who really hasn't hit that well since he came over from the Marlins. So until that turns around, this team's not going to really not going to be able to get back in it. So that has to happen for them to win the division.
Yeah, that's very disappointing, because everyone expected the Tigers to at least win the division and go on. And now they might have to make the playoffs basically is a wild card entry. When you look at them as well, do you think there's a chance they might be able to make pick someone up off the waiver wire in a waiver deadline, which goes through August?
Yeah, they have till August 31st to pick up someone via the waiver wire. That's a little bit trickier because obviously, you know, before the July 31st trade deadline, you can basically trade for anybody. Or the August 31st deadline, from now until August 31st, you could trade for guys, but they have to clear waivers first, meaning that a team with a worse record than the Tigers could theoretically block a move for a player that they might want. But there is a possibility they could do that. And I think with the new playoff format this year, where there's more teams in it right now in contention for a playoff spot, I think there's a chance that there'll be more waiver wire action, because I think there were so many teams in contention before the July 31st deadline. I think in the next 2-3 weeks, teams are going to fall out of contention and aren't going to need as many pieces. So I think that there is a chance there could be a lot of waiver wire activity. The Tigers have gone this route before. They picked up Delman Young after the trade deadline last year. They picked up Aubrey Huff after the trade deadline in 2009. So they've done this before. I think there's definitely a chance they could do that. There's names out there that might fit. There was talk about Alfonso Soriano from the Cubs. That could still be a possibility, although Dave Dombrowski suggests otherwise. That would be a possibility, but only if the Tigers and Cubs could work out a deal to take care of that contract, because he makes a lot of money for the next two seasons. There's other guys, too. Scott Harrison from the Mets might be a fit off the bench, because the Tigers really don't have any bench help right now. It's very, very depleted there. And then there's a Carlos Lee from the Marlins. The Marlins clearly are selling all their pieces, or many of their pieces, and he could be a fit because he's a free agent at the end of the year. He could be a fit to maybe help them down the stretch. So there are options out there. But you remember, the Tigers are going to get a little bit of help with the offense probably in the next week or week and a half when Andy Dirks returns from the disabled list. And there's also a possibility that their top prospect, Nick Castellanos, 20 years old, who's hitting very well in the minor leagues, could come up this season even before September 1st, and that could possibly help the offense too. So all hope is not lost. There are still ways for them to fix what the problem is. We'll just have to see if it happens.
Yeah, Tony, now, why do you think the Tigers haven't been able to hit consistently? I mean, we've seen it all year long, but what's been your prognosis? Why aren't the Tigers a good hitting team? They've got some big boppers, certainly, and it seems like they have enough average hitters. So what's their problem?
Well, I just think that I think that people kind of overlooked the one big fact going into this season. Everyone just assumed that this team was built to win, because they added Prince Fielder. Well, yeah, they did add Prince Fielder, but they lost Victor Martinez. And Victor Martinez was a huge part of this team because of what he did hitting behind Miguel Cabrera. He didn't hit for a lot of power, only 10 home runs or so, but he did have over 100 RBIs, hit about 400 with runners in scoring position, was a leader on this team. So really, you didn't really add Prince Fielder for the year. You basically, replaced Victor Martinez with Prince Fielder, almost a wash there. So I think that's more of a problem that people let on at the beginning of the season. And also, I think people kind of just assumed that these guys, would have the seasons that they have last year. And many of those seasons were really career years. Alex Avila had a career year last year. Brennan Bosch was having a career year until he got injured. Johnny Peralta had a career year. And Delmon Young played very well for the Tigers down the stretch, even though he'd had years that weren't so great. So I think just people just assumed that they would live up to their, to those expectations from last year. Well, it's very difficult for a player to live up to a career year, at all, let alone back-to-back. I think people just assumed that they would do that, and I think that was a little naive on the part of the fans. The Tigers say that they didn't really assume that these guys would live up to their best baseball, but that they would do, something a little bit more consistently. They haven't even done that. It's been almost the reverse. It's been from career seasons to worse seasons, and that's where they've gotten into trouble.
Yes, boy, that has, of course, a lot of the fans grumbling, but I think most fans still believe they've got enough to win the division, even though they're only trailing by three games. There's certainly enough time to pull it out, but you don't think they can pull it out? I mean, I'm not sure they can pull it. I thought, like a lot of fans, I thought that they could pull it out, but I'm not sure right now.
No, I think they can. I don't think that the White Sox are going to run away and hide. I think the White Sox have their issues, too. I think that they're quite young, specifically in pitching. And I think that they have some concerns in that regard because I think they're not sure that certain pitchers are going to be able to hold up down the stretch. I mean, their best pitcher is Chris Sale, who has pitched more innings this year than he's pitched in his entire professional career combined. Jake Peavy is coming back from injury, and he's already at more innings than he's pitched since 2008, I believe. So, I mean, there's a concern with the White Sox whether these guys are going to be able to hold up down the stretch. So I'm not convinced that they're going to run away with this. And the Tigers and White Sox still have many more head-to-head meetings, especially a huge four-game series at the beginning of September. So I don't think that, I don't think it's out of question for the Tigers to win the division at all. They have the pitching, I believe. The bullpen's been a little bit rockier as of late. But for the most part, the bullpen's been pretty good since the middle of May. And their starting pitching, I believe, is pretty good. I mean, I think Sanchez is going to be better for the Tigers than fans realize. This is a guy who's had some good stuff over the years. He has 3 one-hitters in his career. He has a no-hitter. He just made a couple bad pitches in his Tigers debut. I think he could be pretty good. And I think Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, Doug Fister are pretty good top three of that rotation, even though perhaps they haven't pitched their best in the last couple starts, except for maybe Fister. But and then, Rick Porcello pitched well last night. He's up and down, but he certainly can give you a good outing, here and there. So I think that they have what it takes, but until they start hitting with some consistency, I just don't know how they're going to get back into it because you can't win all these games 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. I mean, they got to score some runs. They did a little bit of that yesterday. The previous 8 games on the series, they were awful. The road trip, sorry.
Okay. When you look at the White Sox and the Indians, they've both been able to stay in the race for most of the year. Are you surprised that they stayed in the race and that they've been able to have this sustained success for so long? And I know the White Sox didn't have any at the beginning of the year, but they got hot. So what happened to them? Oh, I know we talked with PV about PV and the others, but they have to have a little bit more, don't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, the White Sox have been a very interesting story this year. I think one thing, I think they've really reacted well to the management style of Robin Ventura. you know, they had Ozzie Guillen for all those years, and Ozzie Guillen was a high-strung, hyper-manager who was really kind of an in-your-face kind of guy. Well, they almost went the complete opposite with Robin Ventura. He's very low-key, very mellow. And I think players, sometimes players react to that. They, you know, there's less, I guess there's less pressure when the manager, when you see them, look over at the manager and you see that he's not panicking. I think that kind of rubs off on players. So I think that's big. But they've also, whereas the Tigers had a bunch of guys last year who had career years and have regressed, the White Sox have a bunch of players who last year were very poor and have taken off. And I think that, you know, they have three candidates for comeback player of the year this year. And, you know, you look at Adam Dunn, who was awful last year. He's had a monster year with home runs and RBIs. Jake Peavy is healthy. He's bounced back very well, been one of the best top two pitchers on that staff. And Alex Rios, the center fielder, has had a phenomenal year, and he's been pretty bad for a few years now. So you got those guys, and then you have other guys like A.J. Pierzynski's had a nice year. Paul Konerko's having another big year. So whereas the Tigers kind of regressed on many fronts, you know, offensively, the White Sox have almost been the reverse, and they've gone from bad to great. And I think that that's been the big key for them. Their offense is much better than we expected.
Yeah, what about the Indians? I mean, they've been a little bit of a surprise this year.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they were in it last year until, you know, mid to late August, too. They have some nice pieces. They have a really good bullpen, and that's been big for them. They also have some nice offensive pieces, young pieces. Shin-Soo Choo's had a nice year this year. Travis Hafner's been healthy for the most part. So they have some good pieces, but I never really thought that they had quite enough. Their starting pitching isn't that great. You know, they just got rid of Derek Lowe today. And Derek Lowe, of course, got off to that great start for him at the beginning of the year. I never thought that could last. That was going to last. It didn't. They released him. And so they have issues with the starting rotation. I think that's why they're not going to really be able to hang around down the stretch. I mean, they're set up pretty well for the future. They have a nice double play combination with Cabrera and Kipnis. And they got, you know, a nice young catcher in Santana. They just need a little bit more pitching, and they'll be around.
And, you know, we've heard for the last 2 to 3 years, maybe even a little bit longer, that Kansas City's the team of the future. They've got so much young talent, and, of course, it hasn't came to fruition yet. Do you see Kansas City maybe coming together in the next couple of years? I know they've got a ton of young talent there, and this could make that division, the center division, could be the toughest league in baseball in the next few years.
Yeah, the Royals are interesting because, yeah, they've made so many trades over the past several years where they've really stockpiled that minor league system. And they get rave reviews for that system. You've seen some of the guys come up and contribute. Your Eric Hosmers and Moustakas and Alex Gordon, a lot of young position players. Their problem is pitching. They don't have a lot of it in the rotation. And really, their bullpen's better than the rotation, but they need starting pitching. And until those young guys, you know, those young arms start progressing, they're going to have a hard time competing. I think that they might have to go outside the division to pick up some pitching talent. And I think it's the same for the Twins. I think the Twins aren't as far away from competing again as people think either. I think the pitching is just the major problem with both of those teams. I think both of them have a very nice offense. And if they had a couple of arms, I think that this division could be pretty solid top to bottom come 2014.
Hey, give us a call. We're talking with Tony Paul, talking a little Tiger baseball with us right here on AM 870. And Tony, the thing is with the Tigers, as you said, they've still got a great chance to win. I mean, people shouldn't be panicking yet. They should still have a lot of faith in the Tigers. They do have the people there that they could certainly win it all. But that it's just going to be a tough haul. It's going to be a grind for them, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, you know, I think it was a little foolish for people to expect them to just run away with the division like they did last year. I mean,
yeah,
they won the division by 15 games a year ago, and I never thought that was going to happen again. That just doesn't happen. I mean, no team won the division by more than the Tigers last year. So last year was a little bit of an oddity in that regard. So I think that, you know, baseball's a long season, 162 games. I mean, you're gonna have up and down stretches, you know, and you can't really get too about brief stretches of greatness and brief stretches of, you know, not playing so well. I mean, you look at it, I mean, things can change in a hurry in baseball. It's an unpredictable sport. For instance, you know, I don't think anybody expected the Nationals to be the best team in baseball right now. I don't think anybody, you know, the Rangers were supposed to run away with the American League West in April, and all of a sudden, you know, they're struggling. The Angels are hot. It's an unpredictable sport. You remember, when the Tigers swept the White Sox at home a couple weeks ago, you know, that gave the Tigers their fifth straight win, gave the White Sox their fifth straight loss. Tigers all of a sudden were back in first. And everyone thought, okay, great, here it is. They're going to run away with it now. It's about time they showed up. It's over now. Well, that's not how baseball works. And, of course, the Tigers went on to have a bad road trip. The White Sox went on to win five in a row and, you know, get back into first place. It's just an unpredictable game. I mean, with 162 games, there's a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And if you get too wound up about brief stretches during the season, it's going to make for a long season.
Okay. Hey, Tony, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, talking baseball with you, and hopefully we'll get the Tigers on the right track here down the stretch. As you know, the dog days are coming up, and it's just going to be a very hot August, and they've got some young players. I don't know if they have enough young players, but I know they certainly have some pretty good young players, so let's just hope the Tigers continue to play well and do better, and hopefully they can win this division.
Yeah, they certainly have as good a shot as anybody. Yeah, they just need to start hitting. They've shown that they can do it, and if they do it on a consistent basis for the next month and a half, 2 months, they'll win this division.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Tony, and I'll call you again, and we'll talk some more baseball later on.
All right, sounds good, Earl.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Tony Paul from the Detroit News. The time, 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
If you see a Rob Cohen blockbuster, Triple X, The Fast and the Furious, expect plenty of bullets, bangs, and bombs. After the Colorado Theater Massacre, Cohen says he's rethinking the role of violence in entertainment. I'm Neil Conan, Art, Exploitation, and Violence. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today will be partly sunny, and we could get rain and thunderstorms. Look for a high of 88, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and a low in the upper 60s tonight. Mostly sunny Friday, but a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, the high 90. Partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 90 on Saturday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-927-8770. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we've got Aaron over on the other side of the glass, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the Olympics coming up. Now, are you watching the Olympics a lot or just a little? Or how much are you following? Or are you just following certain events? I know some people just really love certain events or love the gymnastics or love the volleyball or love the swimming. So are you just watching some of the things or are you just watching everything in the Summer Olympics? So, Aaron, I'll throw that question out to you. Are you watching everything? Or are you just picking and choosing what you want to see?
Well, you know, since NBC's decided to kind of put a stranglehold on some things, you know, I'm actually just catching the highlights online. Frankly, you know, there's a six-hour time delay, and a lot of it they say is a lie, but frankly it's not. And if you want to watch it online, unfortunately you have to have cable. So, you know, so, and I work during the day, so, you know, it's a little difficult. So, frankly, I've just been catching the highlights, so... but, you know, there's been a lot of good stuff going on, the swimming stuff. There's this whole thing with the badminton thing that the teams have been, you know, the two teams threw that game. But, frankly, that's not the fault of their own. That's the fault of, you know, the rules that are set in place. Basically, to, you know, if you lose, you're going to have a better chance of winning, which, you know, is the – I don't know why they would have ever done that in the first place. But, you know, U.S. is holding there. I think China has a one medal lead on the U.S. right now. But I think U.S. is going to win a couple today to put them in the lead.
Yeah, the Chinese team is a very good team. It's one of the largest teams, along with the United States. I look at all the teams, and you'd be surprised at how many teams have not even come close to winning a medal, and so many teams have never won a level medal. They've been competing in the years, and you know, you have to wonder if your team, if you're from a country from a team that's never won a medal, never been close. You know, how much is that pressure is that on those athletes to win a medal. You know, that's something to see, but that's the way it is. And if you're a part of a team that has not won a medal, boy, I'd hate to be one of those athletes on those teams.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, but you know, that's the way Olympic goes. I mean, you know, there's a lot of countries that only get a couple athletes in, and then you're on a team that doesn't have a medal, you know, that has never got one before, and the odds of you getting one are slim. But, you know, sometimes I think as an athlete, you know that's going to happen. You're not going to win. But you know what? You're in the Olympics. You somehow were good enough to get there. So, I mean, that's nothing to, you know, scratch about. I mean, that's you're still at the Olympics. So, I mean, you still got to be a great athlete just to get in.
Oh, that's for sure, and we'll be looking at that and all these for the next few games. I know I'm looking forward to track and field competition that'll be starting soon. There's so many great athletes and many runners and jumpers and track and field. I sort of look forward to that competition. That's one thing about track and field as opposed to some of the other sports. You know, like with gymnastics. You know, you just don't know who's going to win. I mean, in track and field, you know, if you're the fastest runner and you win the best time, you run the fastest, you're going to win or you're going to place or something like that. But for the other events, a lot of the other events, like gymnastics, you know, you're judged on how you perform, and the way you judge may not be the way some other judges see it, and you just need one bad mark to throw you off. So, you know, that's the thing with judging, as opposed to just having an event that's like track and field, that's straight, plain and simple. If you're the best, you're going to win.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I think we've seen that with, like the gymnastics. You know, when the other day the U.S. One of the U.S. women's did a vault. And, you know, frankly, all the commentators, people who have done, you know, gymnastics in the past believe that it was a perfect score of 16.5, but the judges gave a 16.2 something rather another. But frankly, there was absolutely nothing wrong. It should have been a perfect score. But, you know, that's the thing with certain, like you say, with certain sports, you know, just like with boxing, we've talked about that before. It's all, you know, opinion based. Oh, well, I thought he did this or she did this. Unfortunately, that's part of the human nature of sports. And, you know, with the way technology has advanced, that's one thing I think that's always been talked about is why can't every sport kind of take out the human element of judging where you leave it up to something else? But, you know, sometimes I think it's good to have that because it shows that, you know, we are human and that's just the way it goes. But yeah, it's a good thing about track and field. It's all time-based, so there's really no... unless there's a problem with some sort of computer error, the odds are that things are going to be exactly right.
Yeah, Aaron, that's one thing I know when we look at all those events like that are more subjective, like gymnastics and such. I've always wondered, though, could you make that, an objective sport? Can you put up some rules and make it more objective, or would it just be, would you need, or should we use replay? I mean, I know we don't use replay much in track and field, so, or should we use replay in a lot of these other sports?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what the sport is. I think replay can help in many aspects of many sports, but, you know, each sport's going to be different, so you're going to have to look at it individually for that sport. And make sure that you're not taking away anything from the sport by utilizing instant replay too much. But for example, something like the fencing issue that was with a Korean player, North Korean player, but I could be wrong. And so something like that, and that was just obviously an error on the 1 second clock error. That should have been something that was taken care of, an instant replay. You know, that whole fiasco could have been easily fixed with instant replay. So, you know, those are the kind of things that I think can be utilized. But in some sports, maybe not. Swimming, I don't know if I believe, but I could be wrong, that they still have, by the time when they come to the end, they still have someone just sitting there at the end of the pool with a stopwatch. But I could be wrong. That might be it might be computerized now. But I think a lot of sports could be utilized to use instant replay.
Yes, I think it would be helpful for a lot of sports, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. It's 1:30. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We want you to spread the word around, tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. And as you know, Aaron, I'm getting really excited now. Football season is right around the corner. How excited are you for football?
Well, if we're talking college and NFL, both. So, you know, I'm expecting to have a great, you know, the Lions to have a great season this year. You know, and then all the talk we've had up to this point with Michigan State and, you know, the hype around Michigan that people are expecting Michigan to win the division. So I think it's going to be a great year. As long as all these teams stay healthy, I think they'll have great seasons regardless whether or not, for example, Michigan or Michigan State. If they both stay healthy, I think they'll make a very competitive division between those two teams. Frankly, I don't think anyone else in that division really has a shot, but, you know, you never know. And Lions, you know, as long as they stay healthy, which, you know, they've had issues with that in the past, I think they'll have a great season too. So I'm excited. I don't play fantasy football. I know you do, but I do not play that. I like to watch the real thing. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see how things go.
Okay. Well, as you know, with football season being right around the corner and with the Lions having a very good shot at winning their division, of course, as we've talked the last few days with some of our guests, like with Larry Lage the other day, you got to be concerned with their defensive backfield. I mean, because with the passing game now being emphasized even more so in the pros, you really have to look at the can they stop the passing game?
Yeah, that's going to be the key is can they stop that? Which, you know, I think they can. I mean, I think there's other ways to, you know, if you know you're weak in the area, I think there's other ways to get around that. So, you know, I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue. But like I said, you never know. Yeah, players could just have a bad season or, you know, they make mistakes here and there. They make it, you know, the passing really bad. You know, we saw last year with, you know, with New Orleans, they got demolished as far as passing is concerned. So, you know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But I don't think that's too much of a concern. I think there's other ways to get around that.
Yeah, you forgot out one team when you were talking about some of the teams like Michigan State. There's one other team in that division could upset that apple cart, and that's Nebraska.
Yeah, it could be. They could, but frankly, I just don't think Martinez has proven that he's a great quarterback or a good. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but you know, he's more of a mobile quarterback than anything else. And yeah, Nebraska could be. You know, they've always been sort of known for their defense before they even joined the league, and you know, some of their defense last year kind of let them down a little bit. But, yeah, Nebraska could be a team because I think a Nebraska could be a team that could beat Michigan, but because I think they're kind of similar in a certain sense. But, yeah, I still believe Michigan and Michigan State could be at the top. But, you know, it really it's going to depend on Michigan's defense. I think their offense would be all right. It's going to be their defense. You know, I know it's supposed to be much improved this year, but that's just based on, you know, oh, the players are supposed to be better. Well, that doesn't actually mean they're actually going to perform better. So, but, you know, I expect, okay, so I'll say it this way. Those three teams are going to be, that's what it's going to come down to, those three teams. But I expect Nebraska to probably take third.
Okay. So you like Michigan State in that division. And I'm pretty much like Michigan State as well. Just, you know, we have questions on the offensive side. How well does Andrew Maxwell perform? How well does he fit in with the new group? I know he's been practicing well, and they've been doing the 7-on-7 drills over the summer. But we'll still have to wait and see. Like Coach D'Antonio said, he hasn't been tested. He hasn't been, you know, been out there when the bullets were flying and when it's hot and heavy. So we'll have to wait and see how he performs when it gets hot and heavy out there. It'll be a good challenge for him. And if he's as good as the coaches think he is, he could have a very good year.
Yeah, I mean, if he does, he could have a very good year. I think he's got the right people around him. I think he luckily had Cousins under, you know, to learn from, which was obviously a great person to learn from. He's got a good offensive line. You know, he's played with these receivers as far as practicing is concerned for a couple of years now. And, you know, the defense, you know, he can rely on the defense to help him if he's not having a, you know, a perfect day. So I think he's got the right elements around him to, even if he doesn't have a great, perfect game, I think there's other elements around him that he can get away with that. Some teams can't. So, you know, some teams don't have the luxury of having a great defense. And so then it relies, puts much more pressure on the quarterback. But in this case, I think Maxwell has the right tools around him where he can make a couple mistakes, as long as they're not timely mistakes in crucial times of the game, that, you know, other parts of the team can get him back and they can still, you know, have a chance of winning.
You know, Aaron, we've watched Maxwell, and of course, we watched Cousins over the years. I'm just wondering, how well do you think Cousins, if he gets a chance to play, playing behind Robert Griffin III, or, you know, RG3, how much playing time, I guess if RG3 stays healthy, he won't get any, but do you think he's at all that Cousins is going to get a chance maybe to play this year?
Regular season, assuming that RG3 stays healthy, probably not. Preseason, yeah, he'll get time in the preseason, which frankly he's going to have to take advantage of to really shine there. If RG3 stays healthy, probably not. But you know, RG3 might. We're assuming that he's going to be successful. So
yeah.
You never know. I mean, he could just, you know, he's a running quarterback. But you know, we've learned in the NFL, you still got to throw the ball. So, which he can do, but. But, you know, if they're finding that he's not working with the offense or whatever the case is, I think Cousins is a very, very smart guy that could easily come in there and pick up on things. But, you know, he's got a lot to learn, too. So, you know, the NFL is a much faster game than the college game. You know, there's things that he did in the college game that he isn't going to be able to do in the pros. So, assuming he gets some good time in training camp and some, you know, some of the expedition games there in the preseason, there's a chance that he could get in during the season if something happens with RG3. So he's got to be prepared to, you know, is he the number two backup? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, he's got to be prepared to be ready to go in at any time. And frankly, I think he will be. And, you know, if RG3 goes down, well, he's got to be ready to step up.
You know how it's always funny how the backup quarterback, if you're the backup quarterback, you almost get so many accolades that people will convince themselves that you're just as good as the starter or can easily replace the starter. We've seen that a number of times in sports, how the backup guy is considered one of the best around. So I guess we'll just have to keep our eye on that just to see if he can do a good job whenever he gets the chance to replace RG3.
Yeah, and you know, with a backup quarterback, you're right. One, you're expected to be ready to play at any moment, at any time. And two, you're expected to go in there and be just as good as the starting quarterback sometimes. That's a lot of pressure. And three, you're not usually playing. So you're usually cold coming off the bench. You haven't been playing with these guys the entire game. And four, most of the time you haven't been practicing with them in the practices. You've been practicing with the practice squad or whatever the case is. So, you know, that's a lot harder for the backup quarterback to come in there. But two, you know, they expected to be just as good as a starting quarterback. So that, I think the backup quarterback position is a very difficult position. And if you succeed at it very well, then, you know, people praise you, which is great. But that's a lot of pressure for someone to come in and do that. You know, for the Redskins to have two guys coming in as, you know, basically rookies, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on your quarterback. So, but luckily I think they have two wonderful, great quarterbacks that can both succeed. So we'll see how Cousins does. I hope the best for him and RG3 as well.
Okay. The time right now is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
When psychologist Ellen Langer asked elderly men to relive their younger days, they became stronger and scored higher on intelligence tests. It's called mindfulness, and her work is now used from battlefields to schools to hospitals. I'm Neil Conan, the mother of mindfulness. Ellen Langer joins us, plus Murray Horwitz and a perfect 10 for Best Olympic Movie. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today will be partly sunny and maybe we'll get some rain and thunderstorms too, with a high of 88. Tonight's low 69 and maybe rain and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms Friday, the high 90. Partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 90 on Saturday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come to you Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, you know, we've been talking a little football, a little Olympics, a little baseball, covering sort of all grounds today. But let's go back and talk a little bit of football now. The rest of the NFL, it's going to be very intriguing. We have some very good teams. What team do you think, for you, Aaron, what do you think is going to be the biggest surprise team that nobody's expecting to do well that just come out of nowhere maybe and shock people?
You know, with the NFL, I haven't really thought about it yet, frankly, because I kind of like to see, you know, some of the training camps and some of the little bit of the preseason. I like to make that prediction a little bit closer to, to the actual once right before the season starts. But, you know, Dallas is always a toss up. You know, they're, who knows? You know, they're America's team, whatever. That could be a surprise because, frankly, if they do good and actually get deep into the playoffs, I would be surprised. So, you know, because they've always been on there, oh, this year they're going to win this Super Bowl. Oh, no, this year they're going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, no, next year. So, you know, if they actually do well and get deep into the playoffs, I actually might be surprised. That actually might be a team that, the Giants are always 1-2. The Jets, that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And then you got Denver with Manning. So that's one I think, could go either way. You know, Manning's obviously a veteran quarterback, but, you know, he's coming off an injury that, frankly, is a very risky injury. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, there's no team that sticks out to me. It's always difficult to tell this early, especially going into the training camp. Guys could get injured in training camp. Guys could get injured in preseason. We've seen that before. You know, first snap of the preseason game, guy blows out his knee and he's out for the rest of the season. And, you know, that was their starting center or something. So it's always hard to tell. I always like to wait after preseason because some guys get injured or, you know, teams lose big players. So I'll get back to your question after preseason.
Okay. Well, I've got one team for you right now. The guy flapped his gums, so I started paying a little bit more attention to the team. But I'm liking the Carolina Panthers. They seem to have a pretty good team. Cam Newton had such a good rookie year. I'm assuming that he's going to have a better year in his second year. And if he has a better year in his second year, Carolina is going to be a very good team, probably win at least 8-9 games somewhere in there. But I sort of like the Carolina Panthers this year.
Right, that's a good pick. I mean, Cam Newton's a great quarterback. So, that seems a reasonable pick. I would have no objections to that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one team that we don't see, and it's sort of hard to tell, but, we can talk about Indianapolis with Andrew Luck, the first-year quarterback. Peyton Manning didn't win many games in his rookie year, so I know a lot of us aren't expecting Andrew Luck to really be about the same way, maybe win 4 or 5 games this rookie year. It'll be interesting to see how Luck does for a rookie in being the first overall pick. I mean, he's got a pretty good team around him, so it'll be interesting to see how well he can pick up their offense and defense and maybe get Indianapolis back on a winning track.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing with a rookie quarterback. You just never know. I mean, but, Luck's a smart guy. Very talented quarterback, obviously. It's always difficult to tell. I haven't analyzed the Colts all that well, so I'm not sure how great their defense is supposed to be this year, and I'm not sure how good their O-line is, what their wide receivers look like. But nonetheless, I think he's in a good organization, to give him that chance to succeed. It's not like he's coming into a team that's absolutely terrible, but granted, you know, they didn't do so hot last year. So, we've seen plenty of teams like that, especially with the Colts, I think, is a team that in 1 year you could turn that completely around. So, I expect him to do well. I don't expect him to, fail completely, assuming he stays healthy and the rest of the team stays healthy. I expect him, you know, to do pretty good. I don't expect him to be, you know, win 11, 12 games by any means, but he's going to make his big mistakes, but he's going to learn from them pretty quick. He's got the talent, and I think he's got the right, he's in the right organization to succeed.
Well, you know, in case you hadn't heard, the Cleveland Browns have been sold. Randy Lerner has sold the Cleveland Browns to Jimmy Haslam III, according to multiple sources. He paid over the whole team, the team is going to cost $1 billion overall, but he got $700 million so far. The team will be under his control. Then he'll pay the other $300 million a little bit later on. So that's a steep price to pay for a football team. You know, it'll be nice to see how it goes. Cleveland hasn't had much success under Lerner for a while. So maybe the new owner will do something for him. I mean, we'll have to look and see if they make changes in the front office or if they make any kind of changes. I don't think they will this year, but it'll be interesting to see how that team goes.
Yeah, you know, I kind of reminds me of the Lions a little bit. They haven't had much success. Granted, you know, the Lions didn't have a lot of success for quite a while, but you know, I think it's kind of the same deal. I think you can, if you bring an owner in that can shake things up, change things, get it in the right direction, you know, in 2 or 3 years, they could be a quality team, or maybe even sooner. It just depends, you know, what kind of changes they're making. Well, we got a phone caller coming in.
Okay, and we'll bring the phone caller in, and you can give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Just remember, give us a call anytime. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. Let's go to Atlanta and Mr. Tate. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Hey, I'm pretty good. It's my 28th birthday, Mr. Robinson, so hey, I couldn't be better, man. I'm just very thankful to see today.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Hey, man, thank you so much. I heard you guys talking about some teams that maybe not a whole lot of people are talking about in the NFL, but I do want to throw one team out there, and that team is the Houston Texans. I know that Matt Schaub ended up injured late in the season last year, and then T.J. Yates even came in as a rookie and even stepped up and did a whole lot. I guess we'll see exactly what it is that they're going to do. I know that they go to Denver this year. They go to the Jets. I know they got Green Bay and Baltimore at home. Then they go to Chicago and Detroit too. So even got New England there on the schedule. So, but I definitely think that with that being one of the teams that you know, had some issues at quarterback late in the season and still almost came close to making a Super Bowl appearance push, I think that's definitely going to be my sleeper of the season. I'll keep listening to you, Mr. Robinson. Hey, I appreciate you for taking my call, man, and you guys have a wonderful day.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tate. And, yeah, that's Houston is a pretty good team. They've got a lot of talent on that team that they've accumulated over the years, and that could be a definite factor, couldn't they, Aaron?
Yeah, no, they're a team that's been, you know, improving. They were improving, and they would have not as good a season, then to improve again some more. But yeah, I mean, that quarterback position, though, that one does worry me a little bit.
Yeah.
Tate makes a good point. You know, sometimes when you have those seasons like that, they're kind of, you know, they came in, they weren't like, they weren't expected to play, and they just show up and then they play good. But now this year, you know, they're expected to be a little bit better. But you know, they got great players all around, defense and offense. So that's a good pick. You know, especially in their division, I think they could win that division. You know, I think they're in the same division as Indianapolis. So, I could see that. That's I wouldn't consider them a sleeper team, though.
Right.
I would expect them that they, you know, there's high expectations for them, though, coming into the season.
Yes, if Matt Schaub comes back and performs as well as he did in the first of the year, that could be a very good team. You know, there's just, you know, we just have to wait and see, look at how Matt Schaub comes back. But if he does, that's a team that is going to be a factor out west, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We're talking football right now. We haven't even brought up basketball. And, of course, they're not the dream team, but they're the 2012 Olympic basketball team. They've been doing quite well. And they covered the spread the other day. It was 54 points, and they won by 55. So that was one aspect, but the U.S. men's team is doing pretty well right now. I don't know if they could beat the dream team or not. You know, of course, Kobe is speculated, and LeBron says they could probably beat the Dream Team in a one-game matchup. One game, yeah, I could see maybe in one game they could. They couldn't beat them over a 6 or 7 game series like the NBA Finals or anything like that. But for one game, they could beat them.
Yeah, maybe one game if they're lucky. I mean, come on. Who's going to guard Charles Barkley? Who's going to guard him?
Well, they have to try.
They don't. I mean, you know, this current U.S. team, you know, it's a great team. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's not like they have big guys like, you know, Charlie. You know, it's their bodies are different, but you know, it would be an interesting match. You know, a game to watch though, because I think they're completely different. You know, styles of basketball. You know, I think the Dream Team would put it down low and actually play that style of basketball, and you know, but that's kind of basketball isn't really played much anymore. You know, they don't throw it down there. They do, but you know, they'll do a fadeaway instead. They don't, you know, they don't post up anymore. You don't see that too often anymore. So, it actually would be a very interesting game to watch. But frankly, I don't think they could beat them.
I don't think they could in either, all honesty. But yeah, you know, I think you know, this current team could give them a good game. I mean, they've got the shooter. They've got you know, with LeBron and with the other shooter, Kevin Durant. They've got two great shooters, and of course, great shooters would could make it a little tough for them, because when you got shooters that good, yeah, they should be in the game. And Kobe, of course, they've got three good shooters, perimeter shooters, but they could certainly make it interesting for the Dream Team.
Yeah, it would be interesting, but frankly, I think the Dream Team would just, you know, I think they would have too much on them. They would have too much. It's too bad we don't have a time machine and go back and you know, do that, but. Yeah, I just feel like the Dream Team just has too much muscle, too much, you know, too much strength down low that they would just could dominate that. But you never know. It would be an interesting game, but unfortunately, we will never see it.
No, we won't. It's unfortunate, but hey, that's the nature of sports. It's one of those subjects that we could always talk about. We'd never have a right or wrong answer to it, but just a subject that we could bring up and just talk about. Hey, give us a call. Talk some sports with us right here on AMA 70. I'm really, Tony, when we were talking with Tony Paul there, Aaron, it got me that, you know, it seems after all this time, and I know how the fans all thought, the Tigers would walk away with the division. It doesn't seem like, you know, he thinks that they can win the division, sure, but are they going to be a dominant team, or can they end up winning by 10 or 12 games? I'm not so sure. I mean, right now I'm still not even sure if they're going to win. I thought they'd win the division when they made that trade. I thought that gave them a lock to win the division, but they've been hitting so sporadically, I'm just not sure anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think they can win the division, definitely not by 10 games or anything. That's not going to happen. But you know, they got to be consistent with the hitting. If they're consistent with the hitting, everything else is okay. Everything else is fine. It's just they're so inconsistent with the hitting. I think you made a good point about once you know, Dirks comes back off the disabled list or whatever. I know he's down in AAA, I believe, right now. But you know, once he comes back up, you know, I think they'll be all right as long as they stay consistent as far as the hitting. That I think that's the number one thing right now. They can't stay consistent with hitting. You know, and the big guys have been, you know, those guys have been somewhat consistent, but not really either. So as long as they can stay consistent, I think they'll win the division, but probably only by a few games. But you know, even if they don't win the division, I think they'll still make the playoffs. I think they'll be a wild card favorite.
Yeah, I think they'll still make it. But boy, you know, you have that. If you make the playoffs, you've got that one game, just a one game spot for the last team to get in. So that'd be a lot of pressure after 162. Then you have to win one game in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's you don't want to even put yourself in that situation. So. But I do believe they'll probably win the division just by a couple games, maybe not even, maybe a half a game, one game, maybe a one and a half games. I don't know. You know, it's not going to be easy for them. And I think they're going to realize that coming down the stretch when it really matters. But the thing is, you know, I believe they're 2.5 back right now. You know, if they get behind any more, You know, it's going to be difficult for them to do that. But in baseball, sometimes it seems like four or five games is a lot, but the reality is it's not all that much. Especially, do they have to play the White Sox again?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. A lot of games left.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you win against them, that's one full game. So, really, four or five games, if you can make up a half a game when you're not playing them, and then you make up those games when you do play them, a full game, you know, really four or five games isn't that much. So I'm not too worried about right now, 2.5 games behind. Like I said, I still think they're going to win the division, but probably only by maybe a couple games.
Yeah, even though that would be somewhat of a surprise, even if they win it by two games. I mean, the main thing is to win it, that's for sure. After 162 games, if you can pull out that division, that'll be great for them. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Are you watching the Olympics, or do you care much about the Olympics? Or, you know, are you waiting? Or are you just getting out there, getting out on the golf course and playing a little golf? That's one thing you can do. So, you know, are you watching the games, or are you watching baseball, or are you just waiting to start watching football? We have the game coming up on Sunday, I believe it is, the first football game of the year. So there's a lot of things to choose from. And, of course, you can watch the Olympics. The basketball is going on now. You know, everyone has got the U.S. slated to win the gold medal. But they do have Spain waiting there, and they could get them. I know if Spain had Ricky Rubio playing for them, they could make it very tough. But I think he's still injured, so he won't have them. But Spain's got it with the Casal brothers. They've got some height, some size. They could run with them. But I think they really need that point guard, Rubio.
Yeah, I just don't think Spain can actually, frankly, I just don't think Spain's going to be able to, you know, hold against them. I think there's too much leadership on the U.S. team as well. I think that's one underrated factor. I think, you know, LeBron has great leadership skills. I mean, there's plenty of players on that team that have great leadership skills. Plus, I think they have a good mix of, you know, of different styles of players. And they also have a good mix of age as well. I mean, we even saw Davis the other day doing some great things as well when they, you know, when they were blowing out whoever they were playing, Tunisia, I believe. So I still think that U.S. is probably going to win this thing pretty easily. They might have a hiccup here and there, but I think they just have too much leadership to really have any sort of fault or major, you know, mishap. So even if Spain plays the top of their game, I still believe that U.S. is still probably going to win this pretty easily.
You know, Aaron, it's one thing I think we've always done. We seem to like we always underestimate the leadership portion of a team. You know, we know we recognize the fact leadership is such a big importance for any team, whatever the sport it's sporting. But we as the public, we always seem to underestimate that. Why do we think we always downplay the importance of leadership?
You know, because it's not numbers. It's not a stat that we can look at. It's not something that, you know, you can put on the news and see the leadership as much as, oh, you know, here's someone throwing it down. You know, that's the reality of it. And, you know, when it comes to leadership, you usually see it in a replay of something. Oh, here it was during the timeout. Here was LeBron, you know, getting on the guys or something like that. Well, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, people want to see numbers. People want to see stats. People want to see good play. The leadership stuff is more behind the scenes. You know, sometimes the most important things are behind the scenes, and leadership is one of those things. So, you know, people just don't see that stuff, so I just don't think it gets covered as much. But it's a very, very important factor. I mean, even if you're in the middle school, high school stages, college level, leadership goes a long way. And I still think the U.S. has probably the best leadership of all the teams in the Olympics for basketball, especially with the players that, you know, especially someone like LeBron, he's had his lows. But, you know, this year with the championship, he had his highs. So he's learned a lot. And there's other players like, you know, Durant. You know, obviously, he has a lot to learn, too. And I think the U.S. has a lot of that.
Yes. You know, I've often said and talked about leadership. And that's one thing about leadership is that, you know, you can't, you know, as I've talked with Tom about this over the years, a lot of guys just don't want to take that point and make the other players mad at them. They like just being respected by their teammates, but they don't want to make all the other, they'd rather be a person's buddy than to make them mad at them by telling them something that they should do. Well, anyway, I want to thank you all for listening today and invite you to come back and join us tomorrow on the Friday edition of Sports Talk 870. We'll have Drew Sharp with us. Jack Ebling will be with us right here tomorrow on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock. Have a safe and pleasant evening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
From NPR News in Washington.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.